Crumbs and Filth, the Citizen Kane of podcasting. Modern man is confronted with so many movies. Which ones are films?
And which ones are filth?
In at number 80, Objection!
Your Honor. No, well, in this movie, Witness for the Prosecution, you just start screaming, right? That's what Travol does. He doesn't like something, he just shouts it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I think Objection's an American thing. Like gavels. Yeah. There's a whole Twitter account that goes around looking at news stories from the UK about courtrooms that have just a picture of a gavel as a generic picture. And just like finding them and commenting on them, they don't use gavels in British courts.
I feel like this movie did a good job of explaining the British court system, but I have no idea if it did.
It's the closest I've ever been to understanding what the difference between a solicitor and a barrister is.
Cool.
Yeah, those words just went. I heard them in the movie, of course, and they just went like straight through my brain. But
I think a solicitor is the one you go to solicit advice. But a barrister is the one who actually does stuff in a courtroom.
Okay. Well, see, I didn't
in America, they just both lawyer, right?
They're all lawyers. Well, you have trial lawyers and what do we call them?
Legal,
guys? Legal,
for legal assistant, legal paralegal, paralegal.
Paralegal just helps with research and stuff.
Yeah, because they don't have like the lawyer title though. They didn't pass the bar. Where I think you know the solicitors and barristers both pass the equivalent of the bar. I don't know.
Tell you what, I passed a bar on the way here. That's not true.
All right.
In my house. This film is called Witness for the Prosecution.
This podcast is called Films and Filth.
This person is called Luke Summerhayes.
This person's Matt Comages.
This barrister is named Mark Malik. I order.
The prisoner is called Matt Comages. The prisoner will speak.
Prisoner is such a hardcore word. Yeah, well, yeah, that's another Americanism. We go with the accused, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. When I saw this movie on the list, I was like, Witness for the Prosecution. That sounds damn boring.
Yeah, kind of same.
I loved this movie. Every second of this movie I loved. I think that's what Matt was building to
because, yeah, me too.
Holy
crap. I went into this with very low expectations. I had an absolutely wonderful time.
Yeah,
my main thought throughout this whole film was like, Shu Takumi definitely watched this.
Yeah, for sure. It's wacky. It's wacky as hell. Everybody seems like they're having a great time.
Lawyers go around investigating in a way that's very illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Our main lawyer is basically just as addicted to this. Like, he's just as curious what's going to happen as we, the audience, are supposed to be.
Yep. Even to the point of after he wins, he's like, yeah, but I still want to know the truth.
Yeah.
I'm a little more, like, lukewarm on the film. And I think it's a Billy Wilder thing. I'm not besmirching the man's talent or anything, but his vibe has never quite been my vibe. I haven't seen this before, but I'd seen Some Like It Hot. I'd seen The Apartment, you know, The Apartment won like all the Oscars that year. It's and they feel the same as this movie. Like the sense of humor and the kind of whimsy is the same. And it doesn't seem to be quite my kind of whimsy. That said, the performances are great. So Charles Laughton and Marlene Dietrich are fantastic in here. So I would not say anything bad about those performances at all. So I think it's kind of like, it's like 70% Marx Brothers, and I want that last 30% of insanity, which Billy Wilder doesn't do, but some people would probably prefer that he doesn't, you know?
I really like this mix of like, there is a lot of comedy in there, but it still is dramatic in the dramatic moments, which is again why I got big Ace Attorney vibes.
Yeah, for sure. It's like Frank Capra. He's not like Frank Capra, but Frank Capra has that thing where he rub some people super the wrong way. I don't know if you guys have.
I've seen some Capra. I mean, he has like none of the sarcasm that Billy Wilder has. You know, Again, I'm making my Marx Brothers thing where, you know, I want him to go full Groucho with the sarcasm and not kind of like this urbane halfway, which some people would prefer that. Again, it's not, I'm not saying that this is bad or anything. I'm saying it's not quite like my vibe.
I'm into it. I like his pacing and everything. Like I like the way it, just the way it cooks, I guess.
Yeah, for a 2-hour movie made in 1957, this flew by.
That's
incredible.
So Luke, on a scale from 1 to 10, rate Marlene Dietrich's fake British accent when she was dressed
up. That's what's so funny, right? This is apparently set in Britain, but everyone has the transatlantic accent, which I've never...
Yeah,
I realize the reason it's called that is because no one has that accent. So it's just as ridiculous in American films, but I don't ever heard it in American films. So hearing it is like, this sounds exactly the same as every other film we've done from the 50s.
But I just thought her accent was insane. It was like,
it was insane, but I genuinely didn't catch it was the same actress. So fair play to her.
I was sort of thought it was an evil twin situation. I was just like, what the hell is going?
I was watching it on my phone. So maybe if I was watching, you know, the 4K Blu-ray.
See, the accent gave it away for me. I mean, it's like, one, I've seen, of course, this is Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles doing Marlene Dietrich. I'm not sure I've actually seen a movie with Marlene Dietrich before. But
I had not seen her in English before. And yeah, wow, that's where that's what the reference is then.
Yep. I could still hear. Yeah, I think her accent was still there, you know, with all the little, all the prosecution. Yeah, it's just like, I know that accent. As far as the more primal fear twist at the end of the movie, I did not see that coming, even though I have seen Primal Fear.
I didn't either, and I was still having fun, and then the twist was just like, I was just cheering and running around because I was like, that was such an insane series of events at the end. I was like,
is this film sort of one of the original twist ending movies?
Yes, it must be, because
it literally had like a please don't tell people this ending message. I love that.
Okay, yes, Mark, break the rule.
We need that to come back.
They asked, people to sign like cards in the movie theater swearing they wouldn't give away the ending.
But that's still great.
Yeah, the announcement. So, Mark, break the rule.
Okay. Before you do, this film is on the Internet Archive, and I do recommend listeners watch it before Mark spoils it for you.
That's a good point. I'll give you like 1 second. Before I start the summary, I could not get the Internet Archive version to work. It's also on Tubi, so you can watch it there if you want. No commercials came up. Okay, summary. Witness Sir Wilfred Robarts, a barrister who represents the defense, not the prosecution, coming back from the hospital after a heart attack. His staff is constantly persecuting him, trying to get him to stay on his meds and not overexert himself, but he can't resist defending Leonard Vole in his murder case. Leonard has been spending time with the victim, an older woman who left him all her money in the will, and the only witness with an alibi is his wife, Christine, and Robarts thinks that the alibi isn't worth much because she's his loving wife. Or is she? The trial convenes, and Christine actually is called as a witness for the prosecution. She maintains that she didn't love Leonard and is technically married to someone else and just used him to get out of Germany, and that he did kill Emily Jane French and admitted to her. Robarts is shaken, but then when a woman at a bar passes him love letters that were allegedly written by Christine to a suitor named Max, admitting that she planned to frame Leonard, he brings them in as evidence, and then Christine is devastated as her testimony for the prosecution is witnessed to be false, and Leonard is found not guilty. But then it turns out that Christine actually was in disguise, passing the letters to Wilford. Max was made up. Leonard actually did kill Emily, and Christine really did love him enough to enact this elaborate scheme. But also, she witnesses evidence that Leonard was seeing a woman on the side, and Christine murders him in the courtroom. Wilford decides that he will be defending Christine in her upcoming trial.
Hey, it's a job. It's a living.
That was harder to do than Good Will Hunting.
Killing. Oh, yeah, one more word about spoilers. Tell me if my response is too much here. This is we're recording this like almost 2 months ahead of time. So Dune Part 2 just came out, and I see people freaking out like, don't tell me any spoilers. I'm like, what?
The book's 60 years old.
I know. Who cares?
Also, spoilers, like, yeah, the goodies win. I mean, get to the sequels.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. Get to the sequels.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, the second half of Dune is very much just the events, the things the first half set up happen. It's not particularly twisty and turny.
I was destroying our coworker's mind on Tuesday by reading her the plot summary for God Emperor of Dune.
Which coworker?
Huh?
Oh, wait, Vitria?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. Because, like, please don't do that to, like, people who've just joined.
No. Demetria loves that sort of thing.
Read it to your students. I heard that basically there are some characters from David Lynch's Dune that don't even make it into this, which is weird to me.
That's weird. Okay. I guess that's a spoiler. How could dare you give me that spoiler? But yeah, yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, in the 50s, this is, like, definitely... Mike, you said, I think you said on Psycho or whatever. Do we do Psycho?
We haven't done Psycho yet.
We haven't done Psycho yet.
You brought
we've
up
done
Psycho.
Vertigo and we've done North by Northwest.
You brought up the Psycho thing, though, where you like had to come in at the showtime start, right? Whereas before
yes,
that people would just kind of stumble into the theater whenever. You'd see, you watch the second half of the movie, hang around, then watch the first half.
But the characters in this are kind of doing that, right?
The funny thing is
there's
is
the
that,
scene where they're at the cinema watching the cowboy movie. And she shows up halfway through, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Jesse James is on the run. And he's like, oh, no. And she's already seen it, so she tells him, oh, don't worry, he gets out of this one.
Come on, Billy Wilder, don't do as I say, do as I do. Don't do as I do, or whatever it is, yeah.
Apparently, a lot of people went up to Hitchcock and said they loved Witness for the Prosecution because they thought it was a Hitchcock movie.
I think that's because Lawton's performance is very much Hitchcocky, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents is on the air at this time, so... People are just kind of conflating the whole thing, you know?
I mean, it just feels like it moves kind of like a Hitchcock movie, but like a funnier, wackier one, basically.
It looks like a Hitchcock, sounds like a Hitchcock, smells like a Hitchcock.
Yeah, yep. That's what I'll say. Like, Hitchcock is not this wacky, but he usually has an injection of humor. I'm like, why is that like perfect for me? And this one's like a little off.
Well, this is more, it's softer and faster. Like, It moves more like a comedy. It feels like a comedy. Like, you know, all this stuff where Wilford is sort of like just trading barbs with all of his staff and just telling him, I'm going to kill you and go back to the hospital. You know, just stuff like that is not really in Hitchcock movies. Like, people don't like quip much. And you might be tired of quips. I understand.
The other weird thing with Lawton, though, again, when everything he does on screen, I love, right? So I do like all that stuff. So maybe it's just the softer and slower construction of the movie or whatever. What else is? I mean, Lawton's famous for being the 30s Mutiny on the Bounty. He plays Captain Bly, and
who was a Bugs Bunny impression? So I was like, oh, that's where I know. Like the two impressions I find in this film, where it's like, the Marlene Dietrich, Madeleine Kahn impression, and Bugs Bunny doing William Lawton, which is Charles Lawton, which is hilarious. Apparently, Charles Lawton enjoyed some of that enthusiasm was real. Apparently, he enjoyed making this so much that he showed up on his days off and like read through lines for other actors for this film.
Sure.
So he was like really hanging out, getting into it, which
I mean, maybe he was just happy getting out there the character is in terrible health, but it doesn't look like Charles Lawton is in great health, and he dies 5 years after. He was 57 when they made this, which isn't that old.
The funny thing is Tyrone Power died of a heart attack on the set of his next film. He's the prisoner.
Right.
Charles Lawton actually wasn't sure he could play a guy with heart problems, so he faked a heart attack.
And then had a real one 5 years later.
No, he had cancer.
Oh, okay. I did not look up cause of death.
Well, anyway,
doing all the Twilight Zones, I'm like,
didn't
that's
look
a Hollywood.
Like he's doing great.
That's a Hollywood 57, you know?
Yeah.
Mid-century Hollywood 57.
I mean, he did a great job of portraying a man with heart problems, but yeah, he's, you know.
So maybe Tyrone Power is just okay then, because obviously I saw his name blasted on the screen right at the beginning, kind of kept stopped thinking about it. I've seen like several movies with Tyrone Power and it didn't, yeah, so he's fine. It's just the other two are like so good, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's another comparison to Primal Fear where, you know, everyone loved Norton's part in that role so much they kind of forgot about the rest of the movie.
Who else is in that? I forget.
That's my point.
Okay.
I could look that up if you want, but yeah.
No, you don't have to. I could look that up if I wanted to.
You could.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I'm just looking to see if anything else he did. Oh, he was in Nightmare Alley. I think he was.
Oh, Power. Yeah, Power. Yeah. I have seen the original Nightmare Alley. And then I saw the, that's the weird thing. I told my story where I thought I was going to see Last Night in Soho and I saw Nightmare Alley instead. But I actually had seen the original Nightmare Alley and I hadn't, like, at the end of the movie, it's like, wait a minute. I'm watching a remake of a movie I've seen.
So you didn't catch the title? Is that what happened?
I didn't make the connection because, you know, in the previews of Last Night in Soho, to me those shots look like Nightmare Alley, so I like, that's Nightmare Alley, and then I stuck the name to the look of that movie, forgetting about the old movie.
They're not entirely dissimilar, but I actually haven't seen the original, but that Guillermo del Toro one was one of my favorite movies of whatever.
Both are good.
I haven't seen either Nightmare Alley, but I did finally watch Last Night in Soho last Halloween. It's good.
I wasn't into it, but I might have been in a bad mood. I don't know.
Mm.
That's one of those. I like Edgar Wright so much that I'd be willing to give another shot.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not my favorite Edgar Wright, but.
But anyway, it kind of blew my mind that that Tyrone. Now that I'm thinking back, well, yeah, Tyrone Power's actually first billed in this movie, but he doesn't quite earn it, maybe. I don't know.
He's a handsome
young man. Of course, he's first billed.
I'd make him third billed. Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of...
Charles Laughton won an Oscar. He's an Oscar winner.
He's fiery in this, you know? Yeah, he's like doing a bunch of... And I mean, he tricks... I don't know about you guys. I thought he was innocent for some of the movie. Not all of it. Like, on and off. I was kind of like, eh.
And he's such a smug idiot in the first 10 minutes, which is kind of...
I think he does a great job of pretending to be a guy who's pretending to be another guy.
Yeah.
Which is not easy. I mean, Marlene Dietrich... is like great, but well, I guess she's also doing a great job of pretending to be somebody who's pretending to do something else, but then she pretends again and then stabs.
Right. Anyway. There's so many
twists.
Who is she? We don't know. Well, that's the point in the end. She's Marlene Dietrich, isn't she? Who
I mean,
cares about the character?
Yeah, she basically is. And there is something like apparently the scene where like she's playing the accordion and then a guy rips a pants leg off was added because they wanted one of her legs in the movie or something. Because that's just the world that we lived in back then.
Well, I mean, she was like, what, the sex kitten of the 1930s, right? So,
I mean, she looked great here. I think there was something weird where she'd been getting plastic surgery and then some people knew and some people didn't, but I didn't look too heavily into that. But
well, also, as we both said, this is the first movie we watched her in. So,
I've actually seen The Blue Angel, which is something I think I watched in film school, which is a German film, which I think is
that's a biggie.
Great. That's a great film about, I don't know, joining the circus and how you shouldn't join the circus. I'll just put it that way.
Well, that's also Nightmare Alley.
All right, Mark.
Yeah, actually.
Make a decision right now. Blue Angel or the Blue Demon?
Wait, what's the Blue Demon again? Oh, no, Blue Demon, Blue Demon.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's an easy choice.
It took a second. Yes, Blue Demon. If you said Blue Demon.
Blue Demon.
Anyway.
Blue Demon or Little Blue Devil? Little
I would
Blue
watch
Devil.
The Blue Angel L-I-L fight the Blue Demon. Apostrophe. That would be amazing. I think the Blue Angel was Marlene Dietrich. She's like fights
back at Power Slam.
Let me see what else trivia is here.
You're trivial, are you? Okay.
I like trivia. It's interesting.
Now we're like listening to you.
Okay,
think
the leg scene required 145 extras, 38 stuntmen, and $90,000.
So, okay. That's interesting you say $90,000. Was this an American production?
I believe so. Because, I mean, Billy Wilder is definitely like... I think this was filmed in Hollywood or whatever. Mm. Distributed by United Artists. That's distributed. Production company Edward Small, which I don't know...
It had a weird feeling of being a bit American... but also not doing a bad job of being set in Britain.
Right.
I felt like the reason I assumed it was an American production was because it spent a lot of time saying, well, in this country, you are assumed it. You know, it felt like it was explaining to me how.
Well, see, I caught those as just because they were talking to the German lady.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. U.S. production.
I don't know where they filmed it, though.
I don't think anything apart from the solicitor and barrister thing, like Double Jeopardy exists in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the whole thing where spouses can't submit evidence is an American thing because that's a big plot point in Better Call Saul. So I think like there's nothing legally here that's not in America. They wouldn't have had to explain that for the audience.
Yeah,
other than the fact that maybe just in the 1950s, you didn't assume the audience knew as much about the courtroom as you do now.
Is there any location shooting in this? I guess there's no location shooting. So
there's some establishing shots, but yeah, there's usually not.
That's different. Yeah, you send your B-roll folks out to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that they would have explained the British court system because as an American, you would assume that you didn't know. Like, I guess I thought it would be more different.
Maybe,
the Japanese court system is very different than, like, that's another part of Phoenix
Wright. Five-minute
Phoenix Wright is not the accurate Japanese court system.
No, it's not.
It's the Capcom video game version.
Yeah, but the whole thing where in Guilty Until Proven Innocent is sort of...
I believe they
explain that in the game by saying it's the near future and the court system has changed. And is it something like...
Yeah, they say it's... The court system is overburdened, so trials have to conclude in 3 days.
Yeah, and I think it was something like one of the games introduced a jury system that was introduced in Japan and then like ended, and then they ended it in the games as well. Is that accurate?
I think they were trying to bring in a jury system to save the court system.
Yeah,
but Japan, it doesn't have legally a guilty until proven innocent thing, but it has de facto guilty until proven innocent. Like most people who are convicted are found guilty.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like basically if the police have decided to arrest you, that means you're 98% sure to be sentenced as guilty.
Well, yeah. And if the police decide to arrest you here, then you're 50%, you know, going to get shot.
Well,
or
they hold up the, they hold up that chart from American Dad.
Oh yeah.
So Mark, what if we started this movie with a dry 5-minute explanation by an out of character Tyrone Power telling you about the British legal system?
That would not improve this.
I'm assuming there's a cut that does that then, Matt.
No, there's not. I'm just having a thought experiment. I'm just thinking of how ruin this movie.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised it didn't start with a murder. Like that would probably be, if it was Hitchcock, it probably would start with the murder.
That's interesting. Yeah, we don't see the murder or the dead body.
Nope.
Which is usually like the first rule of a whodunit, right?
Well, that's part of the fun of the twistiness of it is they don't show you the murder and they show you this guy who's like, yeah, I don't know why they'd accuse me of murder. That's ridiculous. It's like they're immediately kind of out of the gate telling you not to worry about the murder. But, you know, it absolutely happened. So, that's, you know, I feel like it was a choice.
I also wonder, I think this is a difference between Britain and America. There are no cameras allowed in the courtroom in the UK. That's why you get those weird crayon drawings, the sketches.
We get those in the States too, yeah.
But yeah. I've seen a bunch of videos from American courtrooms.
I think it depends on
maybe it's the like
where
level of trial or something as well, yeah.
Yeah, and then it probably varies from state to state, which it wouldn't do, and you know it'd be the same throughout Britain.
But it makes you wonder, in 1957, just the thrill of seeing a courtroom might have been a selling point for a movie.
That's a good point. I mean, court TV became this huge thing when it started happening here, and that might have been really the first time a lot of people saw televised court things.
C-SPAN. I can keep my eye on the government now. Yay.
I cannot watch
C-SPAN 2.
I would call myself pretty interested in politics, but I've never been able to watch C-SPAN for more than like 2 minutes, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I've hit the 2-minute mark on C-SPAN.
I've sat in on British Parliament in person.
Neat.
No, it was the day after David Cameron David Cameron came back from having taken time off because his infant died. So everyone was really polite and nice to each other.
Oh.
So, yeah, it wasn't like...
Yeah, it usually is like literal fighting, right?
Or yeah, yeah, sometimes... yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all calling each other names and going, whoa! I didn't get it.
I mean, we may be moving towards that in this country too. Who knows?
We're halfway
hopefully
there.
Hopefully not with guns, but who the hell knows? It's just like, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a big history of duels in this country. You know, we have like, we've had presidents in duels with vice presidents. Like eventually it's going to be like the Republican representative from somewhere just shoots somebody in the...
I mean, if we're going to have the exact same presidential election this time, why not just do a duel?
Sure.
Yeah, they got to put some twist on a sequel.
I think Biden could kill him. We'll see. No, we won't. I mean, we won't see it, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. If it literally just comes down to the Israel issue, I actually don't know which one I want to vote for out of those two.
Yeah, well, it's one of those.
In you guys' election.
Yeah.
Right. I have to jump through too many hoops to do that.
I am genuinely curious what Trump would do and put in charge of that whole thing if he would actually
That's it. I'm like, am I going on what Trump says or what I actually think he would do?
Or do I want to sit in Japan watching and eating popcorn from the outside, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I do.
It is fun watching your empire crumble.
Yeah, well, man. I don't even want to get into local stuff, but like a food hall with a bunch of good restaurants just closed because the lady like lost her mind or something. So that's, you know, that's what's on my mind, I guess. Now I have to go get like Italian beef from somewhere else.
Italian beef.
There's one scene in here where there's like a little fanfare, like just on the score or something, when somebody comes in, one of the witnesses or whatever. And I just started thinking like a way to make trials more fun and interesting would to play like wrestling intros when they have a new witness or whatever.
Matt, play Phoenix Wright.
You actually should play Phoenix Wright. I mean, I've only played the original trilogy, right. But that's impossible. I bought
or
it myself.
Ace Attorney. No, I mean
Matt
Luke
gave me his whole DS collection. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's either Ace Attorney or Phoenix Wright in there.
Ace Attorney is the name for the whole series.
Okay.
Phoenix Wright is the protagonist of the first couple.
I'm just saying I don't remember specifically what's in that case.
You can get it for iPad and you won't be missing anything.
That's true.
Okay.
In fact, apart from the nice probably sprites. Yeah. Yeah. So I do recommend all listeners and Matt play those, and I have like 8 more to play because I've only played the original trilogy, but sooner or later
you have a second trilogy and then you have the weird Edo period prequel games,
yep,
which I haven't even finished because they go on a little bit.
Yeah, and I haven't bought the second trilogy because for some reason they reissued that after everything else, so it's still really expensive.
Yeah, only just came out,
yeah, like a week ago, something like that.
I was in the collaboration cafe for it a couple weeks back.
Yep.
Was Professor Layton the same people?
No, but they did do a crossover.
Okay. I played those games.
I heard the crossover is more Layton than Phoenix Wright, but I have not.
But Shu Takumi is back on writing duties, so.
Okay.
The original writer.
I thought he said he was never going to do that again. I guess. Well,
I think he also might have been involved in the sixth one.
All right.
What game developer hasn't said they're never going to do a sequel again and then done one, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I need to play Ghost Trick also.
Ghost Trick, you absolutely need to play. It's one of the best games of all time.
Just put it on the backlog, big pile of backlogs.
Everyone's got a pile of shame.
It's true. Except Matt. Matt doesn't have a pile of shame.
That's true. Matt doesn't give a shit.
Give a shit.
Great way to live. He just has a pile of Blu-rays that he bought at the store going out of business.
Blu-ray.
You'll get to those eventually.
I finally got started watching Blade Runner 2049, but I put it on late at night, so I only got 20 minutes in.
I like it. That's controversial, maybe.
I thought people liked it. Okay.
I feel like I've talked to a lot of people who don't like it, but no, I liked it.
Okay. I mean, it looks good so far, that's for sure.
I like it. I just felt like it didn't have anything new to say.
That's a good point. I mean, it kind of doesn't. But to me,
but also the main character's not as rapey as in the original, so
yeah, that's true.
That's good. And does some investigating, unlike the original.
Yeah.
Turns out the original's just vibes.
Yeah, the new one's kind of vibes too. I mean, it's
yeah, I guess that's true.
The thing I've always liked about the first one is that the robots act like weird robots, and
the sequel
continues doing that. I mean, I'm always complaining about that in every sci-fi thing, where it's like this alien is just acts like a guy from New York or something. No, aliens should be alien, and robots should be weird robots.
I remember you saying the same thing about Shin Ultraman.
Yeah,
that you weird enjoyed guy. The fact that he was just a weird guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And he keeps showing up. I think he had a cameo in Godzilla Minus One too.
Oh, well, while we're talking Ace Attorney stuff, I did think it was funny when early in the movie when Wilfred rips out the blood testing stuff and everyone like gasps and stuff, because in Japan they're all obsessed with blood type, so
yeah
that would never have gotten past him.
Blood types is like a horoscope in Japan.
Like,
it was interesting. This was like literally just a couple years before DNA was a known thing. Probably a while before DNA testing was a thing, but
I don't think DNA testing was a thing until the 90s. But they would at least, I think that evidence gathering did take a bunch of leaps between then and now. But do you guys think it was interesting that he was basically fooled by Marlene Dietrich wearing a wig,
and that he didn't care.
Should have known better.
Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he knew the whole time. He just didn't care.
I feel like he got kind of obsessed to the point that he would just take anything that he wanted, and then he did that cool like fake out, even though you know he was set up anyway. It's kind of fun that I don't know. That felt like this movie had a little bit of darkness to it that wasn't explored super hard, but you know. I guess it's one of these.
Oh, that fake out was cool, though.
Yeah, it was. You know, I guess it's a little hard to talk about the movie because it's pretty straightforward, even though it is.
Plot twist. But yeah, they're not like philosophical twists. It's like, look at the caper, you know?
Yeah, the plot twists are like, you think I did this, but actually I did this.
It was like clever, right? The whole, you can't take the evidence of a loving wife. But we'll take the reverse evidence of an unloving wife. Like, that's a smart move.
I cannot imagine coming up with this good of a scheme to get out of a murder thing. But I also couldn't imagine doing something like having my mistress come to the courtroom and just be
you've got a woman. She's about to go to prison. Wait till she's behind bars before you fuck off with the mistress. Don't do it in front of her in a room that has a literal murder weapon in the room.
Hey, you know, if it's useful, make do with you got.
That's a big thing in older movies, right? Like the crime of passion at the end. Like, I'm going to stab this guy. Like, that doesn't happen as much.
It's like the old Twilight Zone jump out of a window at the end.
Yeah.
It's like we just need to end this on a dramatic point.
Dispatch this person now. Yeah. Let's get it done with.
it's also a bit of the old like in the 50s you couldn't let the bad guy go unpunished.
That's a good point too. That might have even been like a Hays Code thing. What was it? Oh, Vertigo. Wasn't it an issue where Vertigo
couldn't. The only later versions include that scene. That's where him and Midge are listening to the radio.
Oh, right.
But that's not in the original cut of the movie. But yeah, you can now watch it on disc and stuff.
Yeah, it's like they had to be caught because that was the.
I think they just did that in case, you know, mm-hmm. we're on set. Let's do it now so we don't have to reshoot.
Yep. Well,
Agatha Christie did call this her favorite movie based on her works, but a whole lot were made after this too, I guess. You know,
well, I didn't even know this was. Maybe I missed that in the opening.
It's a play, not a novel.
Yeah, okay.
It showed up for a second, but I mean, the credits kind of flew by. This was her favorite According to IMDb, it was her favorite adaptation until Murder on the Orient Express came out, which, are we doing that?
I and don't her, know.
Her resume is super long.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly.
I guess that's another flavor that isn't my favorite. I've just never been into Agatha Christie stuff. So.
See, I quite like a Poirot.
I like murder mystery stuff. I feel it's really satisfying.
Needs to be a really cartoonish detective for me.
Well, it's like I've read all the Fleming Bond books, but I, you know, there's plenty of people who probably don't want to do that.
Are they super racist or something?
I mean, I read them 15 and 20 years ago for the most part. I think I read Casino Royale like last year or something. Book-wise, I would say go read From Russia With Love, the book, and see how that takes. That's probably the best of the books. Maybe the best of the movies, too, but from a certain point of view, I guess.
I liked how this film just casually mentions, like, the colonial service, like it's not a big deal.
I guess it wasn't in the 50s. I mean, it was, but not... Something that was very same as now, I was noting that thermos science has not evolved much since the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got his five thermoses for his medicine on the desk there.
I think Charles Laughton had played Poirot and some other adapt, maybe on stage.
I've never seen anything with that character. So
I've seen like, I think series or movies of that here and there.
I watched a bit of it on the telly, and I saw the recent movie as well.
Or a Murder on the Orient Express is like a 7.2, so it's not
good. Oh, okay. Or you're looking at the old one there, obviously. Well, not
72, is that the oldest one? Right? Is maybe. It not the oldest one? 74.
Again, you're very much asking the wrong guy for me.
Sorry.
The one from like 2010 or whatever it was.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, there's a very recent one. Would that have Michelle Pfeiffer in it or something?
Yeah, it had a big old cast of... The guy who gets murdered in that one is Johnny Depp.
Wow. I bet a lot of people would like that to happen in real life.
I haven't seen it, but in my head, the 70s Murder in the Orient Express would be like the 70s Great Gatsby, which is like watching paint dry.
Isn't that like an hour long? I remember watching it in school. It was like weirdly short. The Great Gatsby original film.
I mean, I'll look that up.
It's really short.
It feels long. I remember that.
Robert Redford, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I do like the... I'm not like a giant Baz Luhrmann fan, but I do like that Gatsby. Mm-hmm. Sorry, there's also the book Gatsby. Are you familiar with the book Gatsby?
No.
G-A-B-S-Y. It is a novel that does not include the letter E.
Oh, God. You don't even have to tell me any more than that.
Sounds truly smart. I'd say very clever.
Agatha Christie liked Orient Express better than this, and then she died 14 months later. So it's safe to say that she really liked this movie.
Right, right. Let's see. I'm looking up the time on... IMDb always moves their stuff around. Nah, it's 2 hours, 24 minutes. I thought it was longer in hell.
Oh, well, never mind.
Was like a short made for English classes book version that you saw.
That's absolutely possible. It could have been like a
2017 on the newer one, by the way. 2017, since we spat out 2010.
Well.
The 70s one is 2 hour 8, so it's shorter than Gatsby. Man. Gatsby. God, I'm glad we're not doing that movie today. Well, I would have prepared in a mirror, you know, Ron Burgundy style.
You ready to record a podcast without the letter E in it?
No.
Man, Tyrone Power was 44 when he died, and he was 42 when he made this movie. That's, man.
How old was he when he died?
44.
Oh, okay. This is right at the end of the line.
Nearly
then.
There,
this is the last movie he finished. Yeah. No, wow. I'm past it. I should be dead. Except I guess I just don't act enough. So then, you know, that saved me.
So
Solomon and Sheba was his last film. And I think he just sort of had a short thing in it. That's like one of those historic Cleopatra things. 6.1. Not well liked. has Gina Lola Brigida in it. I'm just talking about other movies.
6.1's not hated. Yeah, this is a weird film. It is. It's fun. It's funny. It's a good little courtroom drama with fun twists. But it's a very, very early example of that. So it's hard to talk about it without talking about other things that did it better or other things like made around it, because it on its own is pretty dry.
Yeah, I feel like this absolutely would be something like, we would get something like a good HBO series, and this would be one of the episodes of it. Like, I don't know. I assume, I haven't seen the new Perry Mason, but I've heard it's like this level, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody? If you showed this to me as a 50-minute like TV episode, I'd probably be more into it, I guess. I don't know. But
I mean, I don't know about you guys. I thought, I was worried that Wilford was going to die.
My final note is Wilford died the next day. Hey, here's a sentence from Gadsby, if anyone is curious. I'll read one sentence from it. A child's brain starts functioning at birth and has, amongst its many infant convolutions, thousands of dormant atoms into which God has put a mystic possibility for noticing an adult's act and figuring out its purport. So, you know, basically unreadable. But more readable.
That made more sense than I thought it would have.
It makes more sense than Finnegan's Wake, that's for sure.
I haven't even tried to read Joyce. I mean, whatever.
Ulysses. I picked it up from the bookshop because it was like 100 yen, but I haven't braved it yet.
One of these days I'm gonna try, but that's just sort of, I haven't even tried to read Dune yet, you know.
Dune's a banger.
Yeah, you should read that.
I might read it before I watch the movie.
Anyway, I'm willing to throw James Joyce under a bus.
Well, good thing the bus doesn't have the letter E in it. Oh, it's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
So this was remade in 1982.
You can watch that on YouTube. That's why I was like, saying, everyone, 1957, make sure it's 1957.
Beau Bridges, Donald Pleasance, Diana Rigg as Christine Vole. That's fun.
Yeah, that's nice little group of folks there.
And 7.1, so it's, you know, liked enough.
I mean, I would see where, like, I mean, obviously this is a Billy Wilder film, and so it has enough of his stylistic touches to distinguish it way apart from probably a TV movie. But
there's also a mini series in 2016 with Kim Cattrall in it. Wow. That one's a 7.0, so you can see it slowly falling from grace.
Yeah, yeah. But give it 100 years and this, we'll have one for the filth list.
Is that a question of quality, or is that just a question of this idea is less and less able to carry a whole story on its own?
I think it means absolutely
nothing.
It's a
fairly basic twist.
Yeah, I think that this, maybe it's such a good story that you could just, like, I don't know, Dracula. Like, there's probably a minimum level of quality you'd get for a Dracula. Unless it's, I don't know, apparently there's a very bad Dracula that's come out.
Bad Dracula.
Remember what it was called? It's called Bad Dracula.
I watched Renfield on the plane to Mexico.
I heard it was good.
It's okay, yeah.
Yeah. This is a very interesting phenomenon. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but TV is weighted differently, where it's like a lot of times I'll look at directors that we're looking at the work of, and they'll have stuff that's like 8.5 or 9 at this TV. It's like sometimes the TV stuff gets rated way higher, I think, because it just doesn't have people jumping on it.
When people put so much of an investment, they maybe they watch the whole series and it's like, I didn't waste 20 hours of my time on this crap. It's a 9.
No idea.
There's a level of sort of cinematography and stuff, which is expected from a film, whereas TV can get away with a little more basic blocking and stuff.
I mean, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation, that's a 10. Let's watch Sub Rosa now, you know?
I mean, TNG is a 10.
It is a 10, but I'm just saying if you break it down to particles.
You can have the episodes that are not a 10.
But that's my point. Like, we're not willing to say it's not a 10. So a lot of people would take that attitude. Whereas if we actually took it particle by particle, how many episodes are great, how many are
jumpers. If it was one movie and it had that she fucks a ghost plot just chucked in the middle.
That would be like a 9, maybe. Yeah.
Hey, I was like 15 when that episode came on. I would have rated it a 10 then.
Oh, just to be clear, I love watching that episode. The one where Data becomes a weird Aztec alien god, which aired like, I think, like the same month almost.
Oh,
end of that show got weird. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think there's a very, it's a very interesting experience to watch an entire Star Trek series. I think it's like you get this sort of high from, I don't know, like for instance, Voyager's 7th season is actually very good. I don't know if that, I mean, it's solid.
Yeah, sure.
And then there's the whole thing where you watch Deep Space Nine and for like 4 seasons, it's this crazy war, but then it just turns into space ghosts shooting at each other.
Yeah, so you've invested that much time and not, well, maybe money, and you're going to rate it high, I guess, is the main point. Otherwise, we're just going to get into another Trek talk.
I don't know what any. Yeah, I don't
witness
know
for any, the prosecution.
I do not know how.
This is the longest we've gone on after the point where we said we're not talking about the film. We should stop.
We're basically at an hour now, too. That's the funny part.
Well, we do throw out the film or filth. And I mean, am I speaking out of turn by seeing nothing here you could really say is filthy? Other than
Marlene Dietrich in the 30s. How not filthy.
Yeah. Marlene Dietrich in the 30s. That was filthy. Yeah. Like in a good way.
I mean, her accent was hilariously
her
filthy. Her fake Cockney accent was hilarious.
Oh, and her real accent is also very filthy. But in a good way.
I mean, yeah, no one here is talking with their real accent. No one speaks like this or ever has.
Charles Lawton spoke like this around the house, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? There's only one-star review for this film.
I know. I guess you're going to read it then, because I have it, but it's on the iPad that's closed at the moment.
Okay. It's not very long. Uncomfortable from 2021. It has very uncomfortable, unlikable characters for me from the beginning. The plot was interesting, but everything else killed it. I waited for some twist for the end, but it's over-twisted. I thought giving two, but the end ruined it. Yeah, watch it yourself. It's horrible. 2 out of 34 found this helpful.
So they did recommend you watch it yourself.
Basically, yeah.
It's like if I'm like, wow, this tastes like shit. Have a try it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's weird. I'm
pretty sure you've said those exact words to me, Matt.
For sure.
Yeah, just like with weird squid guts or something like that.
I didn't
just
make anyone.
Cocktail him and Matty have made.
Luke, have you seen the squid guts in the 7-Eleven?
I mean, I wouldn't eat the nice looking squid in 7-Eleven because I don't like seafood.
It's just in English, it's actually labeled as squid guts.
Does it say to heat it up, or are you supposed to eat it cold out of the package?
I think you put it in like a little dish, maybe. I don't think you're supposed to heat it up.
If you heat it up, I would try it.
I don't think you
want
it
cold.
Yeah, I think you eat it cold. I think you have to eat cold goo. It's like,
I think I don't.
Yeah, I like my goo hot, thank you, and on my face.
There's some filth. Okay, but it's not this movie.
This was really fun, and it's one of those things where it reminds me that I should probably go watch more old movies, because sometimes I really, really like them.
Well, that's what this podcast is for.
But yeah, see, Luke, I'm your position on this movie, where I'm kind of like, yeah, it's fine, but it's just like kind of this old slog. And I'm usually a guy that'll sit around and watch black and white movies. So
you're saying that you feel about this like Luke probably thought he was going to feel about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Because we're doing Sunset Boulevard soon. Now I'm like, am I going to like Sunset Boulevard, which I've never seen? But yeah.
I think the only Billy Wilder movie aside from this I've seen is Some Like It Hot, which I did like, and I went into that not thinking I would like it at all, because
yeah,
like
I went into
screwball.
I was like screwball comedy. I love 30s screwball comedies. It's like I don't like the 50s strain of screwball comedy. Maybe that's the thing. I think the last screwball comedy that really does it for me is before, you know, the Coen brothers like bring it back to life, is maybe Harvey with Jimmy Stewart. That's 1950, so something about,
I haven't seen that
for me, maybe, but that because I do feel like Witness for a Prosecution has strains of screwball comedy for sure, you know, but it's not screwy enough for me.
I believe
yeah, it's only half a comedy.
I believe that The Apartment has gotten some kind of reappraisal or reissue lately, that I feel like I had the chance to see it in the theater and I didn't.
Oh, just on a little side note, when I was walking by the little Weta Theater yesterday, they were screening Reservoir Dogs. Just as a
the little one in Maginot was as well. But okay. I watched it too recently to want to go and see it.
Same here. I don't want to go see it, but because I just watched it. But I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's too bad it wasn't 2 months ago.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought process.
In other podcast news, Nick Swardson from Bucky Larson was dragged off stage in Colorado because he drank and had an edible and he got too fucked up to do stand-up comedy.
Incredible.
He was apparently he just kept yelling, "Here it comes," over and over again.
You telling that story is funnier than that whole film.
Yeah, but why, if they got on YouTube, watching that clip would be funnier than the whole film.
I couldn't get it to work. You know why?
Can you
get one guess? I couldn't get the video to work because it was posted to X.
Oh.
The pop-up factory.
I couldn't get it to play because X is broken.
Yeah, I was going to guess like Mastodon or something, but X is basically the same at this point.
I think Mastodon probably works, but I have no idea. I'm not on there.
Everyone got a Mastodon account and then proceeded not to use it.
Well, if you would like to... Wait, do we have anything else in this?
No, I was going to let you do that. You just broke the spell.
If you have anything else, if you'd like us to break more spells, and if you'd like to be on Mastodon... And I guess we're not on Mastodon, but
we're
could
not on Mastodon
if you play your cards right, listeners. But you
we're barely on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It doesn't work. But you can find us in a working website called patreon.com/podcastiopodcastius, and you can find all of our shows there, outtakes. You can send us some money to help with server bills, etc. And some of the podcasts you can find are Podcast 1999, Occult Disney, Luke Loves Pokemon, Game Show, Hyrule Field Report, and Time Enough Podcast by the Twilight Zone.
You said some words. I don't know.
Those are words that I said.
Those are words that you said. Objection.
Sustained.
Time of exile is over, pilgrimage of the cosmic warrior. Grasses of the fair lands ever seen, ancient tree wisdom ever ring, echoing and echoing through time. To enter the halls of our ancestors, ascending the sacred hill of Tara. breath of intelligence, the light of wisdom, illuminating the one and the all, radiant luminescence of love, peace, and unity.